You're listening to audio from Bonnet Pond Community Church. For more information, you can find us on Facebook at Bonnet Pond Church. We hope you enjoy.
It's an honor to have y'all and be a part of our Bonnet Pond family. And what a great addition. We're very blessed to have you here, so we're honored. And we can't wait for that. Amen. And I've been excited about preaching these series, The Essentials of Revival. We started out with repentance, and we moved on to forgiveness. Now today we're going to preach on unity. I believe as we go into unity, biblical unity, I believe we're going to see God's going to take us into a realm that we never thought possible. I believe this is going to be the springboard into what God's wanting to do, not only in his body, but right here in this church. And, you know, I know God wants to do a lot of things, you know, throughout the world in his body, but we're here. We're not in Africa, and we're not across the state. We're here. So, but I believe today as we move into the realm of unity, I believe we're going to start seeing God do amazing things. Not that he hasn't done already a lot of amazing works and amazing things. I believe just we're going to see things in a greater level and a greater depth. Amen. We're going to see that. I want to encourage everybody, Friday night, the 20th, it's our night of fire. It's really just going to be a night of worship, be a night of prayer. There might be a short message there. Don't know exactly the direction on that. But I do know God's presence is going to be here. We're going to open up the baptistry. And whoever wants to get baptized, I want to encourage you to do that. And it's going to be really as a night of renewal. A night of renewal, not only for the lost, but for us as well. Don't you understand that we need to be renewed? I don't care how long you've been serving God. It doesn't matter how long you've been preaching the Word of God. We all need to be renewed. And so really, I want to invite everybody, if you've already been baptized, thank you, but I want to invite you to come be baptized again. I think it's just going to be another opportunity and another opportunity for God's grace to cover you and take you somewhere that you haven't been before. So I want to encourage you to do that as we do it together. So I'm excited about that. I got a phone call Friday from a lady named Linda. Y'all remember we prayed for Linda? If y'all remember that, we all stood up. It was the lady that I met on the job site. She had cancer, and we prayed for her. Well, I got a phone call from her Friday. I was cutting grass, and I looked at my watch, and it said, Linda's calling. So I got off the lawnmower, and I walked over there, and I answered the phone call, and I said, hey, Linda, what's going on? She said, you recognize my voice? I said, I have caller ID, Linda. I said, but I did recognize your voice also. And she was just so excited. You know, she said, I just want to know, are you sitting down, Pastor? And I said, well, I actually was sitting down, but I got out the lawnmower so I could speak to you. I said, so, no, I'm actually not sitting down. Well, you need to sit down. I said, all right. So I knelt down like this. I'm like, okay, what you got, Linda? And she said, I just want to tell you how good I'm doing right now. She said, you know, I went to the doctor, and they told me, are you sitting down? That's what I want to know. I'm like, yes, I'm sitting down. I went to the doctor, and they said that my tumor has not grown at all. At all. My tumor has not grown at all. And so, and she just bursted out in tears, and she said, tell your church that I love them. Tell your precious wife. I know you got a precious wife, because if she wasn't precious, you wouldn't be with her. Yes, Linda, my wife is very precious. I said, and thank you. Our church is very precious. I said, our church is still praying for you. Our church is still believing for you and with you. And I said, you know, I really believe in my heart that if I could just get you here to this church and you could have these amazing people just gather around you. I said, you know, I just really believe God's going to completely heal you. And she just burst out in tears and started crying. And she says, well,
do y'all have Sunday night service? And I said, no, we don't have Sunday night service. And I said, you know, Sunday morning is a really good time. She goes, but the medication that I'm on, it keeps me up all night, and I sleep during the day. And then I was sitting there, and I went, wait a minute, not a fire. I said, well, we're getting ready to have a special night service this Friday coming up, the 20th. I said, how about you come? I said, how about you come? She broke down in tears. She said, I'll be there. I'm going to bring my friend. I'm going to bring another friend or somebody, my neighbor. And I said, listen, I said, it's not only going to be a time of renewal and refreshing for Bonnet Pond Community Church. I said, it's going to be a time of healing and restoration in your body. I'm believing that. So it's just not a night we're just going to gather together. There's a purpose behind what we're doing. There's a purpose behind what we're doing. So I want you to really be diligently seeking the face of God for this night. And I really want you to come with an attitude of renewal in your mind, a renewal in your heart, so we can stay tender, so we can stay pliable, so we can stay in a place where God could really use us, that God can equip us to reap the harvest that's out there, okay? And I believe that God's going to do that, and so it's so amazing how God really just kind of set up these messages, repentance, forgiveness, and unity, and then we're going to go into the night of fire. I'm really excited. I mean, God's getting ready to blow our minds away. I really believe that. So if you have a friend, if you have a neighbor, if you have a loved one, if you know someone that's sick, that's afflicted, that needs freedom, that needs liberty, that needs whatever, bring them, because it's going to be a time that God's going to show up and show out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Acts. You know, I really do believe, Brother Barry, it's because that we decided not to go through a routine. That God decided, I'm going to bless these people with my presence. I do believe that with all my heart. And you just keep it up. You keep hanging in there, and we're going to keep praying for you, and you're coming out of this. It's just a season you're in right now, brother. That's all. It's just a season you're in. You're going to get out of this season, amen, and you're going to be better, you're going to be stronger, and you're going to be vigilant, and you're going to be what God's called you to be, amen. I'm believing that. Praise God, amen. All right. God's good, man. He is really blessing us. He really is. He's blessing us. Acts chapter number 1. I got a couple scriptures in here in Acts chapter 1, then we'll go to Acts chapter number 2. But Acts chapter number 1, verse 4 and 5, I want to start off with. Y'all tell me when you're ready. You there? All right. And being assembled together with them, look at this word, commanded them that they, not one of them, not a couple of them, but all of them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's go on down to verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. It could also be translated, and ye shall be seized with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Move on down to verse number 14. I love verse 14. These all, can we say all? These all continued with one accord. I'm going to say that again. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. Turn on over to chapter number 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, here we go again, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're so honored to be here today in your presence, God. We're asking you, Lord, to surround us today with your love, cover us with your mercy, and allow our ears and our hearts, dear God, to be able to hear and receive exactly what you're speaking to us today. I believe with all of my heart, God, that you're bringing this body to another level. You're bringing us into a realm, God, so we can see the supernatural take place, that we're able to be exactly what you have already designed the church to be like. And Father, we just honor you, and we're thankful for everything that you have done already this far in this church. But God, we're excited about where you're taking us. We're thankful for what you've done, but we're excited about where you're taking us. Where is that going to be? We do not know, but we're excited because we know that you're leading. And we know that you're in charge. And we know that you're able, and we also know that you're willing. And we're going to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe Jesus was revealing his design and purpose for the church. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about all of us in this. The ones that have repented, the ones that have forgiven, and now he's bringing us into unity. The ones that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? These are the ones he's bringing in together because he has a purpose. He has designed the church for a reason. I know I said it last Wednesday. I said sometimes we know what we've been saved from, but we don't always know what we've been saved for. And I believe a lot of times we hit the repentance route and we hit the forgiveness route, but we fail to enter into the realm of unity. That's where the power and the dominion and the authority from God comes from. Because we're not actually really sure what we've been saved for. But when you go back to Jesus' words, you hear him saying to the disciples that said, when he said, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's when he said, "You're right. And upon this rock I'll build my church. I'm going to build my church upon this." And he said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Come on, somebody. Amen. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. The ones that have repented, the ones that have forgiven, amen, and the ones now that are coming into unity to be called the body of Christ, the church, that are coming in together to operate and to function exactly the way the Lord has designed and purposed us to operate. And not only did he say, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," he also said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Amen. He's called us out of darkness. He's called us out of sin. He's called us out of dead works. And now he's calling us to be rivers of living water. He's calling us to be a power and a strength. He's calling us to be light in a dark and dying world. He's calling us to be demonstrators of the Spirit of God. He's calling us to affect and have an impact on this world. Amen. I know, brothers and sisters, it's hard for us to imagine sometimes that God is calling you to be this agent of transformation, but yes, he is calling you. He is calling us, amen, to be agents of transformation in this world. I'm thankful that we are an agent of transformation. Amen. This is what changed this man's life. Because of this church coming together, unified. Amen. One mind, one accord, one blood, one purpose, one agenda. Amen. Now we can be agents of transformation in this body. We can be agents of transformation in that mind and in that body. In everywhere that we come and we encounter, we can be the agents of transformation. We can be what God's called us to be. We can be these things. That's why I'm so excited about what God's doing in this church. And that's why I said Wednesday night, I'm like, listen here, if you pray, and I know you do, I said, don't forget about me. You pray for this pastor. You pray for me. I want to lead this right. Because I know for a fact for this thing to be led right, it cannot and shall not have anything of Mac Glover inside of it. It cannot have my agenda. It cannot have my purpose. It cannot have my feelings. It can't have my strengths. It cannot have my weaknesses. Amen. It's got to be 100% Jesus. It's got to be. Because what is going to happen here, amen, not only today, but what's going to happen here Friday night, amen, I guarantee you that it has nothing to do with me and my power, amen, but it's going to have to do with everything that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to do through us. Through us. That's why I love it. It was, share something with you real quick. One Thursday night after prayer, I think I told this last week, but I'm going to tell it again. One Thursday night after prayer, Noah came down for prayer. We all gathered around that boy. His back was hurting so bad. He was having spasms in his back, and he almost went out and left because his back was hurting so bad. But he stayed, and then I stood up, and I said, you know, after an hour of prayer, I know God's in this place, and he's here to heal, and he's here to touch your body, whoever it may be. He got up, we came, I wrapped my arms around him. But here's the thing, everyone else came around him too. And then he looked at me and said, wow, that's crazy. God took my pain away. And Brandon was telling one of his friends about it. And you know what his friend said? Well, who laid hands on him? Brandon said, we all did. It wasn't just the pastor, it wasn't just the associate pastor, it was, we all did. One mind, one accord, one purpose, one agenda. Wasn't the pastor laid hands on him? It was, we all did. I'm talking about there's power in unity. There's power when we all come together. Amen, because we're always looking, well, who did it? We don't, it's a nameless, faceless move of God. I refuse to try to take any credit from God. I refuse to take any glory from God. Because whenever we say, God is you and you alone, that's when he comes in and manifests himself in a way that we could never possibly imagine. God's going to do that today. He's going to do that Friday night. Who's with me, somebody? He's with me. Amen. And if I ever try to stand up and say, yeah, I'm the one that lays hands on them, amen, God would let me lay hands on the next one with nothing happening. I want to remain an agent of transformation. I want this church, and I've always said it, I desire from the depths of my heart for this church, amen, to be a place where the lost and the hurting and the broken and the sick could come, and they could actually truly find the presence of God. Not just a bunch of people going through the motions, but a group, a body, operating and functioning together, moving in the same direction with the same purpose, the same direction, moving by the hand of God. Amen? And that's what causes us to be able to do the works of God. Amen? It's like God's saying here in the book of Acts to his people, he said, I'm going to put something inside of you that's going to change the world. I want you to know, young man, that God wants to put something in you that's going to change the world. God's wanting to put something inside of us so we can operate in this manner that's going to be pleasing to him. Verse four, it says, I commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. John baptized you with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this again. God desires to put something inside of you that's going to change the world. I have to believe that with all of my heart. And I have to believe that he's going to do that in this church to a greater measure of what he's already done. I believe right now that we are only experiencing just a measure of his presence. And I'm loving this measure that we're experiencing right now. I'm really, really loving this measure. But I know that there's more, brother. I know there's more to be had. And I know God wants us to experience even a greater measure of his presence in this body today. Amen. But here's the thing. These apostles, all this 120 people, they started to wait. They went up into the upper room, and 120 of them, the Bible says they were one accord. One accord. That means they all harmonized together. They were undivided. They were unbroken. They had one passion, one mind, one purpose, one agenda, one heartbeat. They were all flowing in the same direction. It's almost as God had melted every single one of them together so they could operate and function as one. As I look at what God is doing here, I can't help but to think before they entered into that realm of unity, there had to be some realm of inconvenience that took place before the unity could be manifested. Because I believe that true biblical unity could only be attained when we break into the realm of inconvenience. And I say that because I believe that God has to disconnect us and detach us from certain things that are keeping us from staying unified. So God has to confront us with these things so we can disconnect in order for us to enter into the realm of unity. And I ask myself, why do you have to disconnect us? Why do you have to detach us? And he says that we have two minds. We are double-minded. What's James 1:8 says? That a double-minded man is unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, that double-minded man, he has two minds. One day he's operating and functioning out of this mind. The next day he's operating and functioning out of this mind. One wants to live for God and the other one wants his own agenda. See, the man that has two minds, he's always going to be unstable. So God has to detach us and get us disconnected away from that second mind that's hindering us from entering into the realm of unity. And so we're going to ask him to confront us with these things in our life that are actually going to cause some kind of discomfort to us. So he's going to have to confront us with our fear. He's going to have to confront us with our pride. I'm going to tell you right now, that right there will create inconvenience to us. Right? Because here's the thing. I know a lot of times we're always thinking about unity. It's me and you, Jess, and me and you, Jim. Yeah, that's part of it. But, you know, I got to be unified with God, too. I can't say I trust God but still living in fear. Now, come on, somebody. But a lot of times we're living in that double-minded capacity. So God's going to have to confront us with our jealousy as well. Well, God, why are you blessing this one over here and you're not blessing me? I'm telling you, they're all one accord in that upper room together. They're all unified in that upper room together because somewhere along the line, God had to inconvenience them and bring them into a realm of inconvenience so he could unify them. Because I can tell you right now, you're not going to pray and seek the face of God when you got pride in your heart, brother. You're not going to seek the face of God, the purpose of God, when you got your own agenda that you want to take care of. You're not going to seek the face of God when you have all these distractions that are going on in the world. So God has to disconnect us from these things because here's the deal. The answer for the world around us is going to be the world that's within us. So he has to change our mindsets and he has to renew our mindset, amen, so that way we are operating in one mind, one accord, one agenda, and one purpose, because if we're not, we're going to be divided. We'll be double-minded people. We'll be operating in our pride when we should be operating in unity. We'll be operating in our jealousy. Be operating in our inefficiencies because that enemy is always trying to divide our minds. Because if he can get me to operate out of the mindset that I'm not good enough, then he can never convince me that I'm supposed to be an agent of transformation.
Somebody needs to say something on that.
If I'm operating out of the mindset that I'm never going to be good enough, then he can never convince me that I'm supposed to be an agent of transformation.
Ben, I'm going to quote that on Facebook. Put that on Facebook. Let everybody else know it so they can shout on that one.
If I'm seeking and seeing this world through that double-minded view, perspective, how can I possibly help a world that's already double-minded? You can't. So the church, in order for us to be agents of transformation, we're going to have to allow God to bring us into that realm of inconvenience so he can confront us with these things that we have been carrying all of our lives. God's saying, I've called you to cast away these things that you've been carrying.
We often carry things that we've been called to cast because I believe we're not actually completely convinced that he actually cares. I'm one of them. I never actually really believed that God was willing enough to take this man right here to another level. Now, I always admit that I know that he can, and that's the problem that we run into. We always believe that God can. We just don't believe he cares enough to do it. We believe that he can, but we just don't think he's willing enough to do it inside of you or inside of me, right? And so God's calling us to disconnect from these things that had been hindering us and holding us back and keeping us from not only being unified with him, but it's keeping us from being unified with each other. We're going to have to enter into that realm of trusting God. Sometimes we trust God more in his power than we do in his ability to care for us. So when we start trusting God in his word and trusting God in his promises, trusting God in his ability and his willingness, then we'll be able to cast off these things and enter into that realm of unity with God. Because I don't care who you are, if there's no trust there, there's no unity there. If this woman don't trust me, there's no unity here. If I don't trust God to be who he says he is, there's no unity here. And thus, there can never be any unity between me and you. This message of unity is very important. Either you're going to grab a hold of it, you're going to let God just deal with your pride and deal with your jealousy, deal with your faults, deal with your fear, deal with your doubt and unbelief, deal with the mindset of who you think you are, or that enemy's trying, or you're going to grab a hold and you're going to trust in who God says you are. God's saying that you're an angel of transformation. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. Now you're supposed to think differently than the way you used to. Now you're supposed to act differently than the way you used to. But a double-minded man will always go back to the past. He'll always go back to where this is the way it always used to have been. But Jesus is saying, I made all things new inside of you, brother. Now you don't act that way no more. You don't talk that way anymore. Amen. You don't even think that way anymore. Man, is it just me, or is that enemy always trying to divide my mind? Is he just talking to me, trying to divide my mind? Trying to speak to me, trying to get me to doubt, trying to get me to operate in fear? Operate in doubt, always trying to get me to look at myself and who I used to be, or look how small I am? Trying to get me to see how inefficient I am? He's saying, I need you to start looking through my lens. Because when you start looking at yourself through the lens of God, then you'll start seeing yourself differently and you'll treat yourself differently. And when you start seeing others through the lens of God, you'll start treating others differently as well. That felt good. I think I might do that again. Because if we're operating out of the double mindset, then we'll see people differently than the way God sees them. And we'll also see ourselves differently than the way God sees us. And we'll treat each other and ourselves differently than the way we're supposed to treat each other. My God, we need this message on unity today. God's getting ready to bust us into another realm. Amen. I'm telling you, next time that enemy starts to come against your mind, trying to tell you you're not worth it, that you're worthless, trying to get you to operate in fear, amen, I want you to tell, not today, Satan. If you're driving down the road, you stop that car, you stop that truck, you open that door, you say, get out of here. Amen. Amen. You call me, call my wife, somebody, get on Facebook, say, somebody, please pray. Whatever you got to do, amen, just do it. Because here's the thing, these people were in the upper room, 120 of them. They had to put all these things to the side so they could single-mindedly seek the face of God. That way they're seeking the face of God. That way anything else is not attracted to them. They're not attracted, amen, to the fear. They're not attracted to the doubt. They're not attracted to the unbelief. They're not attracted to what that enemy is saying, because they're so focused on the face of God. And here's the thing, that enemy hates it when we come together in unity and seek the face of God. By the way, that's what we do on Thursday nights, if anybody didn't know. That's what we do, don't we, Jason? We all come together and we just seek the face of God. That's why when I got up out of prayer, I knew God was going to touch that man. No doubt in my mind. But when we come together seeking the face of God, not our agenda, but his, not our mind, but his, looking at ourselves and looking at others through the lens of God, amen, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And that enemy hates it. That's why in Psalms chapter 133, get this, I'm going to show you something. Usually this is where people go and preach on when they talk about unity. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I love this. It's like, you English teachers know what I'm talking about. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down from the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. See, when the brethren operate in unity, when we've casted away that double mindset, and we're seeing ourselves and seeing other people through the eyes and the lens of God, amen, we've come together as one, one mind, one accord, one purpose, one agenda, one heartbeat, then God commands his blessing on those people. He allows the oil to start flowing from the top of the head. I've already told you the oil and the means fat. So in other words, when that oil starts to come, it starts to make us so fat, amen, that these other things that used to hold us back and used to limit us, amen, no longer have any power and have no authority over us because the oil, the blessings of God is coming down on top of us, and now we are operating in a manner that we've never operated before. The Bible says that it even comes down and it's like the dew of Hermon. That dew is a covering. Amen. So now we're operating under the covering in the mercy of God. We're operating under the covering in favor of God. We're covered in favor. We're covered in strength. We're covered in purpose. We're covered in his love. We're covered in his word. We're covered in his promises. Because that dew comes down and it covers us, amen? And it keeps us and it preserves us and it keeps renewing us day by day because we are dwelling together in unity. And the Bible says that becomes life evermore, and that life is just like that river, just like the rivers of living water that become agents of transformation everywhere it goes, creating life and sustaining life all through the way. That's what happens when we dwell in unity. We dwell in unity and we're covered by God's blessings. God brings his power in. He brings his strength in, and we operate and we function in a way that we never thought that we could, all because we got rid of the double-minded perspective. God's taken us somewhere, Bonnet Pond Community Church. And I just want to ask you, do you want to go? Do you want to go? God's taken us somewhere. And we have to make up our mind. Are we tired of operating in this fear? Are we tired of operating in this double-minded perspective? If we are, amen, then we'll do what God told us to do in 1 Peter, casting all these things off of us because he cares for us. And then we'll enter into that realm of trust. We'll enter not only into the realm of trust, but we'll enter into a realm of rest, because when a man's double-minded, there ain't no rest going on inside of that mind. I guarantee you. Because he's always going back and forth, tossed here and there with the waves. He's unsure. He's not resolute. He's not steadfast. He's not firm. Amen. But the man that said, I'll set my face like flint towards the man of God, towards God, towards heaven. Amen. God will make him steady. He'll make him firm. And then when the winds come and the rains come, amen, and the floods come, amen, after it's all said and done with, we are still here. We've all made a difference in this world. We are agents of transformation.